Pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Boy, they've been giving me a hard time today because I hate to drop this dime on you, but I usually don't shower before the show. Usually don't. I shower, but not before the show. And I've never yet showered on the show, although for a price, I would consider that. That'd be a big price, though. And so they were getting on me because I was bleeding here on the side. I shaved before I came on the show. And I tried to get myself all prettied up and cleaned up. And all of a sudden, they're saying, hey, Coach, you're bleeding. Like, I was going to spin a yarn and say that the FBI snuck in the middle of the night and tried to get me, but I fought my way out and just got done fighting with them. Didn't have time to get cleaned up, but it's actually just shaved, got a little bit of a burn there. Hey, Chad Estes had to cancel his huddle down in Texas just because the weather's so daggone bad. It's dipping down into the 30s, maybe even into the 20s, and Chad does a lot of outside stuff. So if you're heading to the Texas Salt and Light Brigade meeting, you might want to get a hold of Chad because he's postponed it. He hadn't canceled it, but he's postponed it. And as far as you know, today we're heading to, Michelle and I are heading down to Kentucky to be with Bobby Lee and Dorita and the OJ and the boys and girls down there. And Randy's having one on Sunday afternoon. And I'm going to do a show next week. I was talking to, spending some time with Gary Pierce yesterday about the importance of, we're going to make it a little bit more practical, try to get us more organized. And we're going to start using this type of format and having meetings and guys out there who are interested in setting up huddles. We're going to get together 15 or 20 of us and talk about and strategize and help you guys step out a little bit, because I'm telling you, more and more and more politics is going to become local, more and more and more. And I saw, I see a lot of stuff, but saw something today of some women standing out in front of a business of some kind holding a sign. What does the sign say? Yeah, my face, my choice, holding that sign up. We can win these battles. We can win them locally. We got to quit. See, when we give the government permission to wield a hammer from top down, then we get what we deserve. It's we, the people, we're supposed to push back. And unfortunately, we haven't been very organized in our ability to be able to do that. One thing I know JR is probably aware of is that there are a lot of groups out there, but we're not unified at all. I'm not talking about Salt and Light Brigades. I'm talking about patriot groups. There are more patriot groups than there are fingers. And they don't play together very well. We don't play together. Some don't. Some aren't Christian. Some aren't. I mean, just any thought on that, JR? How we pull these things together? Because that's really, if we're going to win, you said it, Larry said it, everybody said it. We can't do this thing alone. And if all politics are local, then we got to figure out a way to wake up our local politicians or local folks. And I'm going to have Liberty Mel. She's probably listening right now. She sent me a plan yesterday. She's been part of the local Republican, what do they call that, executive committee. She's been part of all that stuff. She knows how that works. And Pastor Fred Mosley, Judge Fred Mosley, Attorney Fred Mosley, has joined us here this morning. He certainly can tell us how that wicked system operates as well. So we have to be strategic and wise in how we do it. But we got to get to work, folks. We got to get to work, and we can begin to win these battles locally, and hopefully that's what we're going to be able to do. So I'm going to shut up because I've been looking forward to this for a couple of weeks, ever since I met Fred Mosley. Maybe you can pull his website up there real quickly if you could, Spencer. John Diamond brought Fred Mosley by my house. When we went to Texas a couple of weeks ago, Fred showed up with John. And so, you know, I didn't really know much about Fred. He began to give his testimony, share what had happened. And he was, I'll let him tell the story, but just so you know, he was an elected judge and got caught up in some shenanigans and ended up putting him in jail for 7 years, although I think they said almost a life sentence for him. And Fred went to jail, and the Lord spoke to his heart and began to talk to him about the laws of life and how many laws there are in the Bible that if we would just obey them, they're laws. They're not suggestions. They're not rules. They are like natural laws. A law of gravity, right? It's a natural law. The law of sowing and reaping. And Fred wrote a book about the laws of life. And he's going to share that with us today. But he also, one of the things he's trying to get up and running is he has what's called, he has a little show. Spencer, I think. Pull that other website up here. Welcome to the Laws of Life Court TV, where Fred actually, it's some good stuff. So I'm going to shut up for a minute because what Fred has is very, very deep. And I want to get to it as much as we can. So Fred, there's what they call an old softball. And I don't know what you want to do with it, but I served the ball to you and you go ahead and hit it back, brother. Come on in. Fred Mosley.
Coach, thank you very much. I appreciate this opportunity. And oftentimes I do work from notes, and I hope that is not distracting to those who have tuned in today, but I just want to keep myself on track. So I ask your indulgence at this time if I'm looking at notes from time to time.
That's okay, Fred. By the way, folks, I got both of Fred's books here. The first one is The Laws of Life, Introduction to the Laws of Life, Perfect Justice Through Spiritual Law. And then here's his most recent one that's come out, 50 Laws of Life, Perfect Justice Through Divine Law. See, again, folks, if we would simply establish the laws of God in this nation, a lot of this stuff would straighten out. But not only that, if we would apply them to our life, it would straighten out. Sorry, Fred. Fred, get used to it. Your Honor, objection! I'll be doing that a lot. I'll be doing that a lot during the thing.
No problem, Coach. Anytime.
Sustained. So give it to us, brother. Give it to us here. Go on.
My background is in secular law, wherein I served as the federal prosecutor, ironically, for the United States Justice Department as a trial attorney in the antitrust division. Then after that, I served 4 years or so as an assistant county prosecutor in Cuyahoga County,
That's Cleveland.
And then from there as a defense attorney. And afterwards, I was elected as a municipal court judge in the city of East Cleveland, which is a separate city immediately adjacent to the city of Cleveland. As Coach mentioned, while on the bench, I was indicted by a federal grand jury, and I was facing 120 years in the federal system. I was indicted for the same offense. That offense was receiving kickbacks from contractors working for the city, wherein I sat on the bench. That grand jury indicted me, and I was facing 12 years in state custody, a total of 132 years of incarceration. I was sentenced to a federal prison in Big Spring, Texas. Now, while in Big Spring, and I was in my early 40s at this time, while in Big Spring, certainly the only law that I had come to be familiar with was man's laws. I was a Christian, but I had no idea that there were some laws higher, laws that superseded the laws of man. So while I was incarcerated, interestingly enough, when I entered the federal penitentiary in Big Spring, Texas, there was a welcome mat. Can you imagine a welcome mat at a prison? But there was a welcome mat, and the welcome mat said basically, welcome to the Department of Justice, and it referred to the department that dealt with the prison, Federal Bureau of Prisons, Department of Justice. And I reflected upon the fact that just a few years prior that I was a trial attorney with the Department of Justice, being on the highest, considered to be the highest echelon of the legal profession, after which now I'm on the lowest level of the legal profession.
You went from locking them up to getting locked up. Is that right?
Locking them up to getting locked up. Yeah. And it was a shocking experience, to say the least. And then I finally inquired of God, how could this have happened? How could I have fallen from the highest level of the criminal justice system to the lowest level? And then the Spirit of God started to speak to me as to what had happened. And then the Spirit of God impressed upon me that not only had I violated man's laws, but more importantly, I had violated the laws of God. And then the Spirit of God impressed upon me that while confined, for whatever period of time that I would be in confinement, that His Spirit would start to teach me the laws of life. And then I was required to begin in Genesis, developing these laws of life as absolutes with the foundational Old Testament scripture, carrying it all the way through the Old Testament into and throughout the New Testament scriptures. New Testament before I could refer to it as a law of life.
So Fred, there's natural laws, right? Sun goes up, sun goes down, gravity, oxygen. We go through all those, but you're saying that the Lord showed you that the laws of God are just as natural, just as unchangeable, just as immutable, that if you violate the law of gravity, you fall down. And the laws in the Bible, if you violate those, you fall down as well. Is that right, Fred?
Absolutely. And more importantly, it was revealed to me that all of God's laws are higher laws than the laws of man. Now, before going further, in order for each of us to appreciate how important these laws of life are in our lives, we have to look at what takes place in the natural, because you cannot fully appreciate the laws of life, the spiritual component, unless, as Coach just as pointed out, you understand the natural and the spiritual aspect of it.
Fred, would it be safe to say that if you violate a law of God, it'll show up in the natural realm?
Yes, it will. Yes, okay. It will.
Go ahead.
Let's start with the premise that God is the supreme legalist. I'm going to repeat that. God is the supreme legalist. Everything, not some things, not most things, not even many things, but everything that God does, He does according to one of His fixed laws. Now, let's look at a few quick examples. Look at the room that you're in now. Coach, look around the room that you're in. Everything in that room. I've been down in your basement. I know what it looks like.
Stop it. I told you you couldn't say that, Fred.
But everything, look at the lights. The lights are operating based upon certain electrical laws. If you're in Ohio, you need some heat today. That operates based upon certain mechanical laws that are involved. Even this chair that you're seated on, the only way that chair can uphold your weight is that certain laws are obeyed. And in order for us to shift from the natural realm, understanding those things in the natural that takes place, and take it over to the spirit realm, we have to have a clear and distinct understanding in that regard. Everything in the plant kingdom doesn't just operate willy-nilly on its own. It's controlled by certain natural and physical laws. The same thing with the lower animal kingdom. Clip the wings of a bird and see what happens to that bird, because there's a certain velocity that that bird has to get to in order to be able to fly. Life under the sea. Let's try this one out. Take a fish out of water. No, try to drown a fish while in the water. I don't think you'll be successful, because there's certain laws that automatically come into play. You cannot get out of bed. You can't lift your eyelids. You can't eat your breakfast. You can't go to work. You can't drive your car. You can't do any of these things unless there are certain laws that are functioning and operating properly on your behalf.
Now, we call those natural laws, right, Fred?
All those are natural laws that we're talking about. We're talking about natural and physical laws.
Can't be broken. They can't be broken without consequences.
That is correct. There are always consequences, and we're going to get to the consequences of violating natural laws as well as spiritual laws. But all of these laws are absolute, and you have to start thinking legalistic. Now, some would say, anytime you mention the term legal or legalistic, most believers just assume that you're talking about the Mosaic. Let's clear that up right away. We're not talking about the Mosaic Law. Let's go into the garden just for a few minutes. The laws of life were established in the garden, Coach, in the garden, before the Mosaic. Okay, let's look at a few of these laws of life. I'm getting ahead of myself. But Adam and Eve were under what law? They were under the law of the Spirit of life in the garden. The law of sin and death was not activated until they violated God's law. When they violated, when they were disobedient, eating from the forbidden tree, that's when the law of sin and death was activated.
It was always there. It was always there. Never been activated.
Never been activated.
Fred, hang on a second, Fred. Think about gravity in an airplane. How does an airplane get off the ground, folks? Well, it doesn't violate the law of gravity. There's another law that supersedes it, the law of draft and lift, right? So God isn't breaking his laws when a plane flies. There are other laws that come into play as they do it. I just want to help people to open their brain and understand how one law sometimes supersedes another law. Go ahead.
That's good, Coach. There are higher laws and there are lesser laws. And obviously, in order for that plane to fly, it has to overcome using the law of lift to overcome the law of gravity. Let's make it even a little more simple. I assume most of the people who are on this call swim, excluding myself. I'm still trying to learn. But you know how you swim? You activate certain laws. You activate the law of lift, which also is the law of buoyancy. Those two laws come together to overcome the law of gravity in the pool. Otherwise, if you were to jump in that pool and not cooperating with the law of lift, you will go straight to the bottom because the law of gravity would take over. So
do I have to pray for the law of buoyancy to come in effect?
No, you do not. You have to come into agreement with it.
It's
already there. But if you don't come into agreement with it, you allow the law of gravity to take control.
Yeah, so when you're out there swimming, you're not saying, Lord, please bring that law of buoyancy. He'll say, kick your feet and pound your arms. And it's
that's right.
Effect. Okay, gotcha.
And come into agreement with those other laws that supersede the law of gravity. I just touched upon another law of life, the law of agreement. Can two walk together except they be agreed? We have to come into agreement with those laws that supersede other laws. So everything we do and everything we say activates one or more laws of life, either in a positive or in a negative way. If I want water, Coach, there's a chemical formula that I have to employ, H2O. Now, H2O is not going to give me anything but water. If I want Kool-Aid, if I want punch, if I want something else, H2O is not going to get me there. I need H2O for water. It's a chemical formula, which is an absolute in the natural. So we talk about all of these natural laws. There's so many that we could discuss. But you have to lay a foundation with respect to the natural laws and the physical laws, understanding how important those laws are in our daily lives and how we can violate those laws. And if we violate those laws, then we bring about a negative consequence.
Okay, Fred, so hang on, because I want you to get into this. This is good stuff, but my brain's working and I try to think for others who can't ask the question. So Fred, when they give us this vaccine, there may be some laws being violated and some laws being initiated in the midst of this vaccine being introduced into our body. Would you agree with that?
Well, I would agree with that, because if that vaccine is not something that we should be injecting, allowing to be injected into our bodies, we activate a law of life that most of us are familiar, the law of sowing and reaping. Be not deceived, God is not you. That shall you also reap. Whatever you put into your body, you are going to get a correspond. If it's something negative as it relates to your body, you're going to get a corresponding consequence as a result of it. And it's going to be an automatic consequence.
Because it's a law. It's a law. It's not the judgment of God. It's the law.
It's the law. So that's just one law that we... Everything that we do and everything we say, Coach, we activate one or more laws of life, either on the positive side of that law of life or on the negative side of that law of life.
And Fred, you said there's 50, but there's probably more than that, but you've identified at least 50 of them.
The Spirit of the Lord has revealed 50 of these laws of life, and there are more. And again, let me get to this. We define a law of life as being an absolute divine rule that governs the consequences of our actions. Coach, yes, we have free will to some extent, but we do not determine the consequences of our actions. The consequences are determined by one or more laws of life.
Wow. Come on in, Vinny. Hurry up. Come on in, Vinny.
Hey, it's very, very easy, very quick. But Dr. Burroughs says it better than I do. Pray like it's up to God and work like it's up to you.
Amen. But obey the laws. Obey the natural laws. If we obey the natural laws and the spiritual laws, then we're probably not going to have as many problems in our life, which is the exact point that Pastor Fred's making. Keep going, Pastor Fred. I'll interrupt you periodically. Don't take it personally. I do.
You have a legal court to interrupt anytime you choose.
All right, buddy. All right. I'm trying to think for the audience, Fred. That's all I'm trying to do, bud.
Yes. What excites me about these laws of life is that they are not respecters of persons.
Mm.
It doesn't matter how rich you are.
That's a law, by the way.
That's right. You cannot buy your way from under, out from under any of these laws of life. I don't care if you're a billionaire, a multi-billionaire, approaching to becoming a trillionaire. These laws of life will impact you the same way as they would someone who is a pauper, because they are not respecters of persons. It does not how socially connected you might be, that still does not make any difference. Your political party doesn't make any difference, because these laws of life impact Democrats, Republicans, independents, all the same way, because they are not respecters of persons. Does not matter, Coach, how many degrees you might have. You might have 3 or 4 advanced degrees, but you're still impacted the same way by these laws of life as a person who maybe not have finished it, even obtained a GED. So these laws of life are not respecters of persons. They impact everyone the same way, because they are of God, and they're not respecters of persons.
Hillary Clinton ain't getting away with it, Fred, right?
No.
She ain't getting away with it.
Coach, you make a good point right here. See, once you come to understand these laws of life, and we just touched upon one or two thus far, then you recognize the fact that the only way that you can get perfect justice, not just justice, but perfect justice, the Bible speaks about perfect justice. The only way you can get perfect justice in a given situation is by and through one or more of these laws of life being activated in a way that it brings about the consequence that should flow from that particular activity. So often people, well, our ministry is named Justice Ministries, as you can see, that's displayed here. You know why we named it Justice Ministries? And I shared this with Coach, because people, including believers, are looking for justice in all the wrong places.
Hmm.
We're looking for justice out of a justice center building. Very little justice come forth out of those buildings.
Right.
The only way and the only entity through whom and by whom you can get perfect justice is based upon the laws of God and that come down from the Father of lights that brings about perfect justice in every situation that we may be involved in. You've heard some people say a person got away with something. They did not get justice. They did not get properly what they should have gotten. Oh, if you understand the laws of life and how those laws of life operate in that particular situation, payday is coming someday. That payday
can
be a positive. It's a law. It can be a positive payday or it could be a negative payday, but payday is coming. And you can have comfort in that, knowing that God's laws will always prevail.
Okay, Fred. I know my audience,
Amen.
Fred. I know our audience. They're itching, man. They're itching. Scratch them, Fred. Give us some of these laws. Will you do that for us? Let's start going down through some of these laws. Scratch that itch.
We just touched upon the law of sowing and reaping. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap.
And period. Period.
There's another law under that. Some lesser included laws. The law of kinds. Everything produces after its own kind. So whatever I put out there is going to come back to me in a like kind, but the only difference is going to come more later and longer than I put it out there.
Because there's a growing season, right, Fred?
You don't just throw the seed. Me with the law of sowing and reaping.
But you don't throw the seed in the ground and corn pops up. It takes a while. There's a growing season. So the fact that Hillary Clinton has not yet reaped her harvest doesn't mean it's not growing.
Doesn't mean it's not coming, Coach.
Okay.
Because these laws are true. Okay, another quick one. The law of agreement. Can two walk together except they be agreed? But let me go back to sowing and reaping just for a moment. There's a worldly term that most people relate to concerning the law of sowing and reaping. They say what goes around comes around. The world, even non-believers, understand that there's a law at work. Some call it karma, but it comes back to the law of sowing and reaping. Now let's go back again to the law of agreement. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Coach, everything I do, everything I say, I'm coming into expressed or implied agreement with whatever that might be.
Wow.
Worldly description of that is that birds of a feather flock together. The world understands the law of agreement more so than we recognize, but they just phrase it a different way. But it comes from a spiritual law. Amos 3:3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Oh, another law.
Fred, the law of exaltation. Hang on, Fred.
Yeah.
So me and the Lord can't walk together unless we agree, can we?
Unless you agree with his word.
He's not going to agree with me. You don't think, Fred? I got to agree with him.
You got to come in agreement with him.
Okay. I want to get that straight.
Then we want to be careful. Every institution that we're involved in, Coach, we're involved in some form of agreement. The bank that you use, banks investigate you to make certain that you're somebody that they want to deal with by way of your deposit. They have some subtle way they're checking you out. The mortgage companies investigate you, but we blindly get involved with certain institutions, have no idea what they stand for. We have no idea how the monies that are being extracted from us, how those dollars are being used, what kind of activity they may be involved in that violates that law.
Fred, stop it. Stop it.
Look, Coach, I'm going to lay it on you this morning. You invited me in, and you got me up early, so you may as well get ready because it's coming.
So, Fred, if I'm sowing, I hate to say this, if I'm sowing my tax dollars into Planned Parenthood, there's a payday coming in there, Fred, and it's coming to me.
There's another law, the law of accountability and responsibility. Every one of us must give an account of himself to God. And that includes every asset that comes into our hands, how we deal with. I know some things are voluntary, some other things are involuntary, but at least we need to be aware of what we're coming into agreement with in every institution that we're affiliated.
Wow. Because can two walk together unless they agree, Fred? We have to continue.
Unless they agree. Right?
What the heck am I doing in partnership with Planned Parenthood? You say, well, Coach, no, you're not. Yes, I am. I'm in partnership with the government, and the government's in partnership with Planned Parenthood. So there must be some law that connects the three of us together, right? Me, the government, and Planned Parenthood. There's got to be some law that I'm bound to it, right, Fred?
Well, we're dealing with the law of agreement and the law of accountability and responsibility.
Another quick law, Coach,
the law of exaltation and abasement. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. But whosoever shall humble himself shall be exalted.
Wow, Fred.
If I run around patting myself on the back, telling the world how great a guy I am, and operating in pride. Pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall.
That's a law.
It's a law. God hates the pride, but he gives grace to the humble. It's all through scripture. Pride, God disdains pride. And whoever operates, and Coach, as many others while I was on the bench, certainly that was an element of pride involved. And I liked to walk into that courtroom and everybody had to stand up. Had to stand until I said, sit down.
Amen.
That was a form. That was a, if it was in my heart, that was a form of pride. Pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. God exalts the humble. Most of our politicians are prideful. It may be an active pride. It may be a subtle pride, but they come with an air of pride. Most. I'm not going to generalize.
Fred, these are laws just like the law of gravity.
Yes, they are. They are as absolute and even more so than the law of gravity.
They're not just suggestions, right?
No, they're not.
God loves a cheerful giver. No, that's a law, folks.
It's
that's
a law,
right?
Yes.
And so when we violate God's laws, why, my goodness, there's consequences to it. JR, did you raise your hand, JR? Anybody wants to jump in here? Hey, we'll give Fred doesn't have to give us the whole thing today. We'll get him in here. We'll get him in here regularly and let him explain these to us. Jim Caribou, come on in, Jim.
Yeah, I was just going to say, just think how good of a working relationship you have with an employee when he walks in day one and he hears about all his responsibilities and what are the consequences of not doing his part. And you know, that's why we need to hear that from God's word.
Because Jim, here's the truth. If Fred Mosley owns a business and Fred's an honest man and he hires an employee who's not an honest man, and Fred and his employee are no longer walking in the law of agreement, Fred, you got yourself a problem at work, don't you?
Yeah. Yes, you do. Absolutely.
Yeah, but laying it all out in black and white early on that you understand what you're getting into. And that's what God's word tells us.
Amen.
You know, he is who he says he is.
Amen. Amen. Come on in, Jack. Then Larry.
So how many, it's great that you've got somebody on that can really explain the law. I love it. So how many man's laws does it take to overcome God's laws?
You cannot find enough a man's laws to overcome any one of God's laws, because Amen. All of God's laws supersede the laws of man.
Some
of the laws of man may come into agreement with God's law. Many do not come into agreement. Those that do not come into agreement, they are inferior to the laws of God.
Okay, so Fred, I'm just randomly opening your book, okay?
Yes.
Fred, explain this. I just flipped to page 96. It says the law of completion. Philippians 1, verse 6. The law, what's the law of completion, Fred?
Whatever, I'm going to put it in lay terms, whatever God starts, he is, this is an absolute, coach, he's going to complete it.
He's the author and the finisher, isn't he?
He's the author and the finisher, absolutely. So, even in my mid-70s, I know what God has assigned me to do. And under that law of completion, I know, coach, and this is not a prideful statement, but this is a reverent statement, I know I'm going to be here until I get it done.
Amen, because he completes it, doesn't he?
He completes it. If God requires it, he's going to see to it that it's completed.
The law of 35, Fred, the law of brokenness. There's a law of brokenness, Fred?
Yes, coach. Are you familiar with horses? Have you seen a wild horse?
Yes.
A wild horse is no good to anybody until it's broken. That's the same with you and me. God cannot use us to our fullest until we have been broken. That brokenness brings about a humility. Wow. It brings about a dependency on God that causes us not to be prideful, causes us not to be arrogant, knowing that anything that we are to do, that we need the grace of God in order to carry it out.
Fred, I'm worried. You got me worried, Fred. The law, verse number 30, the law of reputation and character. That's a law.
Reputation and character. Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's a law. Your reputation, coach, is what people say about you. Your character is who you really are. The Apostle Paul had a terrible reputation at a given time, but there came a time that his character, which was is a higher law, took over, and you can see what happened. Wrote most of the New Testament.
Wow! Come on, D. Come on, come on in, Larry. This is good stuff.
I want to drop back to what you said just a little earlier about the careful of who you associate with and what groups you affiliate with and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a whole bunch of, and let's face it, reality is there's a whole bunch of denominations calling themselves churches that right. have clumped together. And one of the things they've agreed on is that there's other saviors other than Jesus Christ. Mm. Now, in my opinion, you can let me know how the laws that you've studied relate to this. But any person who calls themselves a Christian understands that the organization they're connected with has officially endorsed that belief. You better watch out who you're associating with. That's
because it's a law, Larry. It's a law, folks. It's a law. It's not just a bad idea. It is a law. The law of sowing and reaping, right, Fred? That's a law, not just a good idea.
And the law of agreement, which was just mentioned, any denomination that we are affiliated with, if it espouses something that violates the word of God, we have set ourselves either in express agreement with that or at least in implied agreement.
And you are
amen.
Under the law of accountability and responsibility.
Fred, I know you understand this because you used to sit on the bench and wear one of those black robes. You were a terrorist in black robe. And I know that you used to have to deal with some guys. One guy did the crime and the other guy was an accessory to the
accessory
crime.
Accessory. Before the fact, during the fact, after the fact.
Oh, don't go down in trouble. Come on in, Dale. In Clay.
Amen, brother. This is so good. I would break it down to this. It's called the laws of common sense. You know, Psalms.
Except there ain't no common sense anymore, Dale.
No, brother. Yeah. Not only is justice falling in the streets, but so is in common sense. And we look at American law, which is it's so turned upside down. As Roy Moore puts it, it's the organic law. All of our laws were supposed to be driven to the word of the Lord, which is perfect law, which means there is no flaw in it. This is what we're supposed to view our laws through, but we have rejected God's view. That's why we've inserted these ungodly laws.
Okay, Dale. Fred, what about number three? The law of resistance and non-resistance, Fred.
Oh, that's a good one, Coach.
I noticed.
That's a good one.
Help us out here.
As believers, we have the authority to resist that which violates the word of God. And we have a mandate to resist it. Now, anything that does not violate the law of God that is imposed upon us, it may be uncomfortable, but nevertheless, if it does not violate the word of God, we are to comply. But if it violates the word of God, we have a duty and a right to resist. But also, keeping in mind, Coach, we have to be willing to accept the consequences that comes from man's law.
Uh-huh. Amen. Count the cost.
Look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yep.
They resisted. Daniel resisted.
But in the eyes of God, they did the right thing, right?
In the eyes of God, they did the right thing. And then, Coach, what's going to happen? They're eventually going to get perfect justice. Because they're operating on a higher level.
Wow.
And based upon operating on that higher level, they're going to get a result that corresponds to operating on a higher level.
Stop it, Fred.
It may take a little while, but it's going to happen.
You're convicting me. Stop it, Fred. Come on in, Clay, and then Patriot 1776.
That's a perfect, what you're saying right now is a perfect tie-in or intro to what I was going to say, and that is you've got the rule of law. So is laws God's rules? So let's look back, see what you think about this. When you're a teenager and your father has rules at the house, and then you decide that you're not going to abide by those rules, and you're going to go up against the father and you're going to break those rules.
Consequences.
At least, yeah, you get real uncomfortable, and your relationship also crumbles and breaks apart. So if we're having trouble with our relationship with God and we're also being uncomfortable in life, maybe we need to abide by those rules.
Patriot 1776. Come on in. Good one. Good board, Clay.
Hey, Coach. This is Kevin in New Hampshire. Hey, I just have I got a quick comment for Fred. So, Fred, yeah. every time that you've mentioned like one law superseding another law, it keeps reminding me of a judicial term that I know you would use countless times in your career, and that is overruled.
Yes.
Yes, good. Sir. That's right. When something violates the law of God, it's overruled.
It's overruled.
Or as John Diamond would say, you appeal to a higher court, don't you, Fred?
That's right.
My goodness.
That's the only place you get perfect justice is in that higher court.
Amen. Come on in, Jeff, now, followed by Rochelle. Come on in, Jeff.
Yeah. Wow, this is really intense. You know, it gets you to identify the reality that's around you. What I said earlier before the show, a public committee, they're okay with sodomy, killing the unborn.
The world is.
And they idolize Trump. And that's what got me upset.
Well, Jeff, they're of the world, brother. They're just acting like they're daddy, the devil. Come on in, Rochelle, then Mark Trump.
Hi, Mr. Mosley. I'm looking at your book here on Amazon. I can get it used for $200.
Oh, yeah, there's something
to do that. That's someone who's trying to take advantage of. Thank you for bringing that to my attention because I need to call Amazon. They had one of the publications on here a few months ago for $1,800 for one book.
Man, you're rocking it, see?
They don't want people buying it, Fred.
I have a question because I had talked to a pastor about this, about taxes. And what he said was something that I wanted to hear, so I've let it rest. But now what you're saying contradicts that, and I really think what you're saying is right. He said, yeah, pay your taxes. It's not your fault if they appropriate them to things that you don't think are right. You know, you're following the law by paying your taxes. They're the ones breaking the law, let's say God's law. They'll be the ones held accountable. But what I hear you saying is, no, I'm going to be held accountable. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, Rochelle, that's what you're hearing. And let's go to another script. According to your faith, be it unto you in a given situation, including the one that you just mentioned. Now, there are one or two ways that can be approached. One can go on record as saying that I object to this. I know that my tax dollars are being used improperly. But under protest, I'm going to go ahead and make these tax payments. Or one can take the position that what is being done with my tax dollars are not in accordance with what the Word of God says. I refuse. I'll put it in a trust account. I set it aside someplace. But I am not going to tender these dollars. And I'm willing to accept whatever the consequence might be. Now, that takes it to a higher level. But
amen.
That's law resistance. Amen.
There you go.
But ultimately, God's word is going to prevail. Now, in that ultimate season, that season may be a few months of persecution, maybe a few years of persecution. It may include you being made an example of and being sent to prison. Now, the question is whether or not how far one is willing to go. And you have to, when you start to take a firm stand like that, you must know that you're in the will of God. You've heard from God by way of revelation knowledge, and you're moving forth based upon what thus says the Lord.
Amen.
If you've done that way, you know that God's going to protect you.
Come on in, Mark.
Amen. Amen. First of all, what a blessing. And I'm just sitting here, Coach, going every church.
It's amazing. Yes.
This truth is absent from every church. Not even going to call it a church, right, Larry? They're not churches. Every social club with a cross on it is absent with this truth.
It is.
But my point is on Clay's comment about, if you violate a rule of your father, things get uncomfortable. All right, that's a rule, a law. Now, if your father's laws are not natural, if they're not just, let's say your father's doing something he shouldn't with the child, that makes things uncomfortable too. So what's happened is our government has stepped in that position. Our priests, our pastors, they're assuming authority over law. They are assuming to be man's law. And they are not allowing God's law to dictate their lives. And they want us to follow man's law. You know more than anybody coming from the Catholic religion. And it's everywhere. It's in our corporations. It's in our social clubs with crosses. It's in our schools. So this is the nature of the devil. And what it ends up doing is creating little g gods all over the place.
And so Jesus said, you teach his commandments, the doctrines of men. There's that law again, right, Fred? Teaches commandments, the doctrines of men, making the word of God, the law of God of none effect. And that's exactly.
Amen. Exactly. Amen.
Man, that's good. Roger, come on in, then Myra.
What are the promises? Or do promises follow directly with the rules of God also? The idea being is when you follow what he wants us to do, there are promises that come with that.
Yes, there are.
Okay.
And those promises, of course, always will be consistent with one or more laws of life. And so
they're natural consequences, though, Fred, just the same as gravity,
well,
right?
If you don't.
You're breaking up, Rog.
Well, and then here's my next question. What are some of the laws of God that deal with how we eat? How we eat. It seems like we're violating a lot of those laws, and there's huge health consequences that we've dealt with.
Got a law on that one, Fred?
Well, it's one we've already discussed. Primarily, that's the law of sowing and reaping. Whatever you put into your body, you can expect a corresponding result from what you put into your body. There's a harvest that's going to come.
Not just a good idea. It's a law.
And a diet is nothing but trying to operate on the positive side of the law of sowing and reaping. It's intake and outgo.
Intake and outgo.
If you're intaking more than you're allowing to outgo, then weight comes.
Yeah,
it's the law of sowing and reaping. Then we got the law of kinds. Everything produces after its own kind. And I got to be careful how I say this, but if I eat a lot of pork chops and a lot of bacon,
you're going to look like a pig.
I'm going to start. Now, Cole said it, I didn't.
You're going to be oinking, buddy. Myra, come on in. That's good.
Yes, good morning, Saints. Coach Dave and Fred, thank you so much. It's just beautiful to hear what the Lord revealed to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Before I get Joe Allen in here, Fred, I got to look at number 8 here. The law of forgiveness. That's a law, Fred?
That's a law. The word said, if I don't forgive you, Coach, then God doesn't forgive me.
Oh, my goodness. I thought it was a suggestion that we're supposed to forgive our...
It's an absolute. It's a law.
Oh, my goodness. Rochelle, come on. Joe Allen, then Rochelle. Come on in, Joe.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Mosley.
Thank you, sir.
You hit on one of the laws that my dad used to remind me. He was in World War II, so he didn't speak that much. But there's two things he used to tell me. He said, you're born in this world with your name, you're in integrity.
Yes.
You ruin your integrity, you ruin your name.
Because there's a law there, isn't there, Fred? That's the law. So
good name is rather to be chosen. That's reputation and character.
I can't tell you how many times he told me that throughout his life.
Amen.
But let me add something to that, if I may. And this is not in self-defense at all. But one can jeopardize his or her good name. But, you know, God is a God who will allow you an opportunity to establish your real character. It may take time.
The law of restoration, I bet, isn't it, Fred?
The law of restoration. That's it exactly, Coach. God is a God of restoration. If we miss it, And if the intent of our heart is to do the right thing, if the intent of our heart is being remorseful and repentant, God will give you or give me an opportunity to restore.
He's faithful and just. He is
go back to Paul again. You see what happened with the Apostle Paul?
Yeah, I've met plenty of men like you and your status, and they repent and they restoration themselves.
We PG for truth. Come on in.
Hey, how are you doing? Thank you for all your work, Fred Mosley. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was kind of on the other side of the gavel when I was younger. I fell away from the Lord. And I kind of messed up my reputation hardcore. But I was being guided by the Lord to do something that was way beyond my understanding or what I thought it was being brought to. My question kind of is, does your reputation amongst men matter that much when you're listening to what the Lord's directing you to do?
And it should not. Our concern should be making certain that we're right in the center of God's will for our lives. And if that brings about a restoration of reputation, so be it. That's good. But if it does not, we ought to want to please God and not man.
Thank you.
Fred, what is the law number 12 here? The law of notice and warning.
Oh, Coach, I like that one. Oh, that's a good one. God says, I will, watch the absolute here. God says, I will do nothing unless I first reveal it to my servants, the prophets. The word also says the secret things belong to God, but those things that are revealed belong to us and our children forever. In Matthew, it says that there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed.
Coach, that's a law. That's a law.
God has bound himself to say, you shouldn't be caught by surprise. That I'm going to make you aware of anything that pertains to you, your family, your ministry, anything I've called you to do, anything that could come against that.
Amen.
I'm going to give you a warning in advance so you can avoid it. But as the flip side of it, don't give me 1 minute. Flip side is that God gives notices also. He doesn't want you to miss opportunities. God gives you notice of opportunity. I got notice, Coach, of being on this program. It's an opportunity, and I accepted the notice. Amen. So God gives notices of opportunity and warnings of disasters, dangers, some things that may even bring about death.
What's the law, Fred? What's number 47? Hang on, I'm coming right to you, Rochelle. Hang on. Number 47, the law of contamination.
Oh, a rotten apple will rotten the whole barrel in lay terms.
It's a law, Fred, not just a law.
And it deals with the law of agreement, and the law of contamination is closely related to the law of agreement. If I'm in agreement, Coach, with something that's contaminated, and if I bring that into my circle, I open that circle up to the entire circle being contaminated. The rotten apple will rotten the whole barrel.
My daddy warned
me. I'm the rotten apple. You need to get me out.
My daddy said this to me. Dave, you lay down with dogs and you get up.
Please.
That's a law of contamination. Rochelle, come on in here. Then we'll go to Craig.
Okay. So do you think there's something, when you're talking about being broken or how you broke the horse so that he was useful, do you feel like people are okay, like your experience, you were put in jail, yet that was where you found your freedom.
Broken.
And so this brokenness, it's also how God can't get in if you're not broken. You can't share if you don't break things. I think there's something really awesome to that. And then two more things. Do you have a favorite law that really touches your heart when you see it at work? And how can I get your book?
Well, I have to admit this, but all those 50 are my favorites. But one in particular we haven't discussed is the law of captivity, deliverance, and restoration. Sin, Rochelle, will automatically come to be some form of bondage. Look at the children of Israel. Every time They got into disobedience. God brought about another nation to put them in bondage. It's the same thing with the individual. But then every time the children of Israel repented, what happened? God delivered them every time. But there's a third component, Coach, to captivity deliverance. The third component is restoration. God will always restore you. And that's what excites me, that God is a God of restoration, and he always gives you back more than you had before. Very quick example. I was on man's bench as a judge. Man evicted me from his bench. But look what God did after I repented and turned away from my wicked ways. God brought me something, Coach, that nobody else has. He gave me a court setting, Laws of Life Court TV, that no other court TV has, because all of our decisions are based upon the word of God, and they are not limited to a particular jurisdiction. Laws of Life Court covers everything that can happen anywhere in the world. And Rochelle, I don't need a ton of books behind me. All I need is one book, and that's the Bible.
Amen. Amen. Craig, come on in, then JR, and then Silver. Come on in.
Yeah, Coach, it's just real good, because this goes to something that I think really applies, and it goes to understanding God's nature and God's attributes. Okay, God's nature is he's just and he's always righteous. Okay, but he has a couple of other attributes that we should be understanding. One is he's long suffering, but God can be provoked. Okay, and in 2 Chronicles 36:15, it says, "The Lord," and this is what Fred's talking about. He's talking about Israel. "The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them again and again by his messengers, because he had compassion on his people and his dwelling place, but they continually mocked his messengers." Okay. And so this goes to another thing, and it really ties into what we did all this fall, and we spoke against. Okay. Here in Genesis 15:12, it talks about the unconditional covenant that God makes with Abraham. And this is when Abraham has fallen asleep. But he wakes up and God tells them, okay, he says that you're going to go down, your family's going to go down to strangers in a land, and that they will serve them and will afflict them 400 years, okay? And they will serve a nation in whom I'm going to judge, all right? And this is what he says at the end. "And they shall be there in their fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete." What that tells me is that God is long-suffering, but he has about a 400-year tolerance.
Yeah. Take some water. Run out the cord. Yes, it does. Hey, Craig, good one, man. I got to get these guys in. Good point, Craig. Good point. JR, come on in, then Silver.
Thanks. Tomorrow morning, Fred's going to be on our Last Call Radio Live, lastcallradio.live program. And, Fred, I don't want you to answer this question now. I want to tease. Does and can God suspend laws, and why? Don't answer that now. I want that for tomorrow morning.
10 o'clock. Last call. Thank you, JR. Come on in, Silver.
Thank you, Coach. Good morning, Fred. At what point does God say enough? At what point does he say, "Okay, that's it. I'm done"?
Reprobate mind. Give them over to reprobate mind.
No. I ain't talking reprobate mind. I'm talking into the world. At what point does God say, "I've had enough"? Okay, America, your history.
Got that one, Fred?
There comes a time, and only God knows when that time is.
Fred, that would be the law of I don't know, wouldn't it?
That's what I want to plead. But we know God, the word says, God says, "I will not strive with man always." I'm paraphrasing here. There comes a time, but only God knows. And that's relative to the circumstances, the individuals involved, the word that person has come to know. All of those factors come in. That's why I refer to God's justice as being perfect justice, because he takes all of that into consideration.
Okay, Fred, I gotta interrupt you, Fred. Sure. How do they get the book? They don't want to pay $900 for it.
And I don't want them to pay $900.
Okay, how do they get the book, Fred?
Well, they can contact, I have some books here, of course. They can contact me. May I give them my email address?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, It is Mosley, Mosely, Justice, Justice, the number one, MosleyJustice1@AOL.com. And I'll communicate back to you directly, and we can arrange for you to get the book through me, and you don't have to go to Amazon.
Yeah, let's do that, because I know
how this is. I get first dibs because I emailed you while you were at that conference.
She wants to make sure she gets a book, Fred. That's what she,
very
she
good. We want you to have it. Thank you.
We've put it into the chat. I believe Spencer just put it into the chat. 50 laws of life. We're going to have Fred back. 50 laws of life, and I could just start reading down through all of them and say, my goodness, Lord, no one. The law of words. Oh my goodness, Fred. I can tell you, I am in a mess because I have violated every one of these 50 laws, and thank God he's a Lord of forgiveness and redemption and restoration. Fred, hang on. When we go off the air, where people want to stay, continue to talk to you, we'll have you back on. Unbelievable. 50 laws of life, perfect justice through divine law. Fred Mosley. Thanks for being with us today, Fred. God bless you.
Thank you, folks. It was my blessing.
All right, brother. We'll see you all on Monday.